We have been having conversations about labor. We looked at the concept of labor. We looked at Jesus being the central focus for our labor. Then we further went into looking at laboring in the Lord. Our conversations have been tied around these, right? And who remembers the first kind of labor in the Lord that is not in vain? You can go to your notes. It's okay. Before you're now looking into my eyes and saying, what if he says you can look into your notes? If you took good notes, it will be there. What's the first type of labor that is in the Lord and that is not in vain? Who has it in their notes? The whole church, nobody has it. What is it? Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. So the second one, what's the second one? Labor of love. So what did we say was his purpose, mission, vision? Sorry? Preaching and teaching, right? Great. So we looked at first one, we looked at the second one, and then we are now looking at an emphasis of what we have on the first as well. Don't worry, you're going to be fine. Today, I spent time just thinking again, prayerfully, Lord, what else should I teach the people? Like I said, we've not exhausted everything about evangelism, but then we've exhausted what you need to know for now that makes you pretty much more effective. You're going to get more effective as we look at these conversations, right? But then we're going to pay attention to this and pay attention to it carefully. Because some of us live our lives in the world as though there is nothing at stake. Then, when God graces us to be born again, we also live our lives in the ministry as though there is nothing at stake. And why do I say this? Because life in itself is a war. See, but I don't like to fight. Oh boy, we're already in the fight. Right? You're already in the fight. You know, it's like Ghana. You know, sometimes there could be a sudden breakout of war in a nation. Then they say, all young boys are 18 years and upwards. Whether you can fight to battle. That's not the time to now explain. You have to put your explanations aside and say that it's either I fight or I'm taking out of the fight. It means I'm shot, killed. So, life in itself is a war, whether you like it or not. Whether you agree to it or not. You can tell me that, oh, I don't agree. Until you see a missile shot, pew, just by your ears. So life in itself is a war. Now, ministry in itself is also a war. So ministry is war. Now, I'm going to relate ministry being war to our evangelisms and outreaches as well. Also war. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. War. They are dangerous wars. You know, and those who go in very innocently in life without getting to understand this, they end up being hurt by so many things. And sometimes it takes a long time to recover. Sometimes they never do recover. You know, one time, I think, I realized that when you are ready for something, for those of you who are afraid of syringes, right? You are afraid to have a syringe. You prefer to take 100 capsules to once, pew, pew, you are done. Do you know what you have to do? Just set your mind that a syringe is about to enter. The pain is going to be much more received and reduced and compressed. Right? Than being afraid that it's about to be. You are afraid. I'm not saying, so there's one, you are so afraid that, hey, this thing is going to hurt me. It's going to be, right? Then there's another, you say, boy, it's about to enter. I'm ready for it. Then you gyms. Do you know what it means to gyms? You see that it gets better. So people who are prepared and who understand the technicalities of what is happening, they are not shocked. You know, it's like in life, you never thought you would lose some amount of money. Then it happens that you lose some amount of money. Do you know people have lost money and they went mad? Like they have to be taken to the psychiatrist. And it's not $1 million. Sometimes even 50,000. They are mad. How can 50,000 make you mad? See, your battle strength is very small. I've lost 100 CDs. Oh. The person can't sleep. Oh. Because he never understood that sometimes on the battle, there will be losses. But those losses are not failures. Right? They are part of the war. It's part of the war. So, I'm trying to make you see that life in itself is a war, which I'm not speaking about. Ministry is war. And that means that the work of our evangelism and outreach is war. In fact, two key instructions that Jesus gives his disciples in Mark 16, where he tells them to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And then, in Matthew 28, where he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, is what encompasses the word service to him. That's what he wants. In fact, you see Paul writing to Timothy and telling Timothy how that God wills that the whole earth will be saved and be filled with the knowledge of the truth. So when we say ministry is war, majorly, what constitutes ministry is the work of preaching and teaching. There could be other services within, you know, there, but there are other segments of ministry. But majorly, what he tells us to do is just that, go and win souls. Is that what Jesus' major aim? Yeah. So we can say that the art of evangelism, the art of soul winning, the art of discipleship is warfare. It's warfare. So ministry is war. Evangelism is war. Have you seen how sometimes you struggle to speak to somebody? Eh? Yeah, the person, or you speak to the person, and the person is like, the person doesn't hear what you are saying. Or you say it again and again and again and again and again and again, again, and the person is still just not getting it. That's because it is a war. So, I came to tell someone a few things about war. Then, I'll show you two techniques of this war. Right? I'll show you two, just two. And we'll practice the two. Strongly, I'm going to go through it, give it to you, write it. You need to write it, especially one of them. I'll give you the technique. Because sometimes when you go to war, you know, sometimes there are some spots for hiding, you know, underneath. You have to know that that's a spot. Do you see that? And sometimes bombs are hidden in these places, such that only the people involved in the war, and it's within their territory, they will know that that place is a bomb. So you who just walk blindly, swoop, you are inside. And you and all your people are gone. So, we're going to be looking at certain technicalities of this war of evangelism and preaching and teaching, so that you will know what exact equipments to use. What did I say? Ministry is what? Tell your friend. Your friend that is sitting next to you. Tell them that, hey, ministry is war. Say evangelism is war. Now, this is truth, okay? War is no leisure. What did I say? War is no leisure. It's just like sometimes, let me say, why, only me? All these things are happening to me. Oh boy, it's not leisure. How many of you have had exams before? And then, you are tempted to just say, hey, what? Hey. It's like you send yourself to be murdered intentionally. Hey, I'm tired. You know, when we were in school, we used to make fun of ourselves. So when we were in school, when he met me from the beginning of the semester till maybe like 2 weeks after exams, he used to call me Prophet, Office of the Prophet. Then I'll say, office of the apostle, right? Office of the, he's a supposed apostle. I'm the supposed prophet. So, office of the apostle, office of the prophet. Then 2 weeks to exam. Then when we meet, I say, office of the student. Because at that time, oh boy, all programs were canceled. Ministrations suddenly will not be there. You know, so that's when you see me going to class. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But I used to go a few times. But then those 2 weeks, 3 weeks, office of the student, office of the student. That time you'll be looking for notes. Hey, looking for handouts. 12 handouts. You have only 6.5. 2 weeks to the exam. Office of the student. Oh boy. So there are offices like that, and you need to be aware. You have to be aware. Do you understand? You have to be aware. So, I'm relating the activities of life to ministry. And I don't want those of you who didn't come for the workers' meeting to be left out. That's why it's intentional. I relate it to life. Because if I go into it quickly, you probably will not get it. So, I want you to take a life lesson, cum what I'll be teaching you in evangelism. Then those who were there, you're going to take a life lesson with the evangelism altogether. Are you listening? So, the goal is to get you knowing this about ministry, but then I just want to make it more clearer, and everybody's clear. So war is no leisure. It's not leisure. Ministry is not leisure. It's not leisure. It's not leisure. It's not, I just want to relax. Your evangelisms are not just, oh, I just want to do it because, you know, it's fun to talk to new people. No, it's not leisure. It's also not a mere pastime. You just want to relax, you know, have a good time, you know, drink some juice, no follow-up, no evangelism. But you are saying that, oh, the work will grow. It will grow. Oh, more men are coming. More men. It's not leisure. Are you listening? It's also not a hobby. Ministry is not something that you do as a hobby. You do it when you have free time. So war is not leisure. How many of us go to wars and we take alongside with us a mattress? Like you are going to war, but in the war you have a mat. I mean, they have to take you out quickly because it's very dangerous. You are a detriment to all that we are trying to do. So war is not leisure. War is not mere pastime. It's not hobby. War is serious business with a serious object. That's what it is. That's what it is. Our evangelism is a serious business with a serious object. There's an object in view. Ministry is a serious business with a serious object in view. Is a battle. Of course, aided by God's Spirit, but then there will still have to be a battle. And sometimes it takes people quite a while to get to understand this. Even in life, it takes people to realize that there's a war. There's a war. There's a war ongoing. A war for your flesh to gain ascendancy over your spirit. A war for you to choose entertainment and a lifestyle that is not godly over one that is godly. A war to say, I'm going to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. Come what may. A war. A war to say, I'm going to step out for evangelism today and every other day. You lose this when you don't understand that is a war. A war to say, my disciples must become what God wants them to become because I will have to instruct them in the way of God. A war. A war to choose prayer over sleep. You sleep right now. I'm telling you, sleep is easy. Because which is easy, to shoot a gun or to drink coffee? Drink coffee is pretty much easier. A word say, I'm going to fast. Fast. The church is fasting. I personally am also going to fast. A war. A word to say, I'm not going to choose that sugar uncle. Even though he can give me everything I want. It's a very serious war. And for those who don't understand the word, they just say, you know, I don't really have an opportunity. I don't really have a say. You have a say. You have a say. There's a gun sitting next to you. Take it and shoot. You say you don't have protection. Huh? A word to choose fornication over purity is a war. So you see, everything is quite easier to do when you understand that this thing I'm doing is a battle between two sides. I started with people in the ministry, but they didn't know that it was a war. But I think God put it in my heart. Because when they saw that, hey, oh boy, this thing, we have to find our lives and find somewhere and live our own lives because this is too hard to do. When I called, you know, someone who was president over me while we were in SS, And I called him and I said, oh, you know what he told me? He said, I think this thing is not for me. I said, what? What are you saying? You taught me seeing and knowing. You say it's not for you. How? Why? So he doesn't have a heart for church people. Like, when I say a heart, it means that he can't put up with church members. I said, do you realize you are losing the war? Do you realize that this a war you are being shot, or not to yourself, you are being shot? And he's no longer in. I pray he comes in fully, but he's currently not in. So you see someone say, church, it's so much about church. It's church. This is a war. You're losing the war. There's a war. You're losing the war. You're losing the war. You're losing the war. So these are important techniques for war that you must get to understand. In fact, you see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, Paul is telling Timothy, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. You see, somebody that failed at something maybe just once, and then they declare themselves failures for the rest of their lives. Why? On war fronts, don't you shoot to miss? Do you shoot every target and hit every target? So why are you giving up? Why are you giving up? Why are you giving up? No man that warreth is a war. And these are techniques of this war that we're going to be looking at. In fact, military armies have serious techniques of war. Let me give you a few techniques of certain military armies. Do you want to know? Are you sure? A good military army learns about war. That's the first one. I'm just going to give you a few, but there are a lot. But your ignorance about war, it's very dangerous. A good military army gets used to the atmosphere of war. Oh, why is it that I preach to this person and this person didn't listen? Oh boy. It's a consistent, persistent, patient war. Another technique is just the selection and maintenance of the aim. Selection and maintenance of the aim. Today you want to evangelize. Tomorrow you don't want to evangelize. Today you want to come to church. Tomorrow you don't want to come to church. Today you see yourself as somebody that flows in the gifts of the Spirit. Tomorrow you see yourself as, no, I don't really think this is mine. You are losing the war. There's a technique of this war that you are losing, and it's that you are not understanding how to select. And then you maintain, irrespective of whatever it is that happens in the war. Today you love God. Tomorrow you don't really love Him like that. Today you want to do ministry. The next day you don't want to do ministry. Evangelism, you're so enthused about it. 2 weeks time, you don't want to have anything to do with it. You follow up on this person. The person gives you attitude just once. You say, there are many of them all. Why? Attitude. So you just stop. You need to be able to select. You need to be able to maintain the aim. I don't know what you are selecting. I don't know which person you are selecting for your evangelism, for your discipleships. I don't know what gifts you are selecting. You know, I started teaching someone how to play the keyboard some time back. It was a lady. I always say this, but forgive me, ladies. And she said, I want to learn. I'm very this. I said, are you sure about what you are saying? Oh yes, I'm very enthused about it. I want to learn. I said, okay, I'll start teaching you. A few moments later, this dear sister told me that, she said that her hands are not moving. I said, why? I don't know. What you need is consistent practice. That's the war. What you need is consistent practice. It's not to give up on the war. Of course, a good military army is going to be one that knows how to understand or understands concentration of forces. Concentration of forces. Some of us, our strengths are dispersed in so many areas. So it becomes difficult to actually do something tangible. Concentration of forces. Very undecisive. Undecisive at where to channel in certain strengths. Today you like brother so-and-so. Tomorrow you like brother so-and-so. Tomorrow you like brother so-and-so. Tomorrow you like brother. Only you. What is wrong with you? Huh? You can't make a choice. Say this, choosing brother so-and-so. Ask your friend, have you made a choice? Say, why are you confused? What's the confusion about? Huh? You can't concentrate on a choice. It's concentration of forces. It's the same for ministry. Concentration of forces. I'm going to build a prayer life. All my forces are going to be channeled towards building a very solid prayer life. Then, okay, I think I've concentrated my forces. I'm strong in prayer. Coupled with reading the Word of God. Looks like that's not too strong. I'm going to build that up again. Concentration. I realize that I'm weak in an area. I'm going to get to it. Concentration. You know, those who always do not concentrate their forces find their forces and strengths dispersed and they end up doing nothing. How many disciples do you want to make? What's your target for evangelism? I mean, I took some of you to the Workers' Congress, you know, at Yakal, and one of the dear pastors was saying that pastor had told them that they were preaching to how many people? 100 in how many weeks? One day. So let's say, why is your mouth dropping open? Concentration of forces. So if I say 50 for you, tomorrow, Monday, we are preaching 50. Concentration. I'm going to say it. Tomorrow. It's a possible mission, isn't it? Yeah. So, okay, let me do it. Let me make it flexible so that the excuses can die off. Because if I make it tomorrow, it's Pastor Monday. I go to work. I close at 4. Okay. I'm doing it 54. What do you call it? 100 for 1 week. I'm talking about preaching, salvation, evangelism. Are we on it? So you should start calculating how many a day, this a day. 10. Can you see that place? I won't get 10. 10 a day. No, if I do 10 a day, I won't reach. It's just, take your seats. If I do 10 a day, I won't reach. So, 10, 70, 70. 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. Spread it out. Let me give even pastor plus 5 again. So this week, we're preaching to 100. And I'll be taking them. Everybody's going to give me reports. Say, pastor, so what if the people I catch, they are 10? It's valid. Because when you preach to 10 at a go, that is preaching to 10 people. So it is valid too. So if you take one man, that's your case. So this week, we're going for how many? 100. 100 is some way. 100. Concentration of forces. Of course, a good military army is aware of surprises. They are aware. They wait. They are aware of surprises. You know, there are things that are not expected. So these are all techniques and many more that are used by top military armies. But then I want us to see how that our work in the ministry, more specifically evangelism, is war. And I said, war is no what? Is no leisure. Or pleasure. It's no mere pastime. We just want to while away time. Just enjoy ourselves. Listen, if you don't force yourself into doing the things that you have to do, intentionally, disciplining yourself to do the things that you have to do, you may never do them. You just may never do them. Even as simple as quiet time. Like just waking up and picking up your Bible, reading or staying quiet and meditating on the Word of God is something that you have to do. If you don't take it, in 10 years time, you will not even remember when you had your quiet time. In 10 years, you will not remember. That's how dicey this war is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. So you have to take it seriously. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine on them. So there's somebody that blinds the hearts of men, that blinds the eyes of men. And that's what we do when we preach. We shine the gospel of Jesus on their minds and on their hearts as we go around preaching and teaching. It's a battle against light and darkness. And of course, whenever light appears, darkness has no other option than to disappear. And that's why we go around shining forth this light. But how can you have light and not shine it forth? How can you have this light of the gospel and not preach it? Look at Acts 26 verse 17. Acts 26, verses 17. This is Jesus' words to Paul. He says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from what? Darkness to light. And from the what? The power of Satan to the what? The power of God. There's a power of Satan. There's a power of Satan. And he says, Paul, I send you to deliver these ones from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And that's what we do when we preach the gospel. Is that we deliver men from the power of Satan unto the power of God. That's what we do when we preach. And this is war. Oh, leave there. We will not open the door for you. I said, hey, you people, you always come here to preach. You people, we don't want to hear you again. Oh, leave there. Then they stop minding you, right? Me, you won't sleep. The door will knock until you come out. Because there is a war. There is a war to get someone hearing what you have to say to them. Take your seat. I met somebody who said to me, hey, Pastor, that place when you knock the door, they don't even open. I said, you forgot. You're on a battleground. He's not going to give you a territory easily. He's not going to surrender people to you easily. You're not just going to get up and feel like coming to church. A few days, a few times you feel like that. Many of the times you have to discipline yourself and come to church. So, as we go on these pursuits, we must understand what we have, where we are, what the terrain of what we are called to entails, the technicalities that surround that terrain. You know, and that's why people, when they are treated badly, when they go for evangelisms or preachings or outreaches, they feel very bad. Why do you feel bad when somebody insults you? You see, it's because you don't understand that it's a war. Because when you understand that it's a war, when you see a missile flying close to you, you don't say, hey. No, you're aware. Some people go for evangelism, they come back hurt. Why are you hurt? The way the person treated me.
She will not even open her door for me to enter. I mean, you even have her listening to you. What's up in front of the door? In front of, you are trying to enter, but they are not allowing you. So in front of the door now, the war is going to take place there. And it's going to be a battle for the souls of men. And that's why we have the Holy Ghost. That in our preachings, in our teachings, in the conviction with which our messages come, the people's hearts are going to be pricked and opened. It's a war. You know, their brother called me and he was saying that, you know, this person has left. This, I said, we are in a war. They leave me nothing. Follow them. Follow them. If you can't follow them, I don't know what you're going to do. Pray about it. We're going to look at those two technicalities. We're going to show you. I'm going to show you how important it is to arm yourself with these on the wall. Many of you just need to have a consistent prayer life and you will find yourself winning the war. That's all you need. A desire to go and you'll find out that the war is being won. A zeal when you preach the gospel and somebody's going to catch that zeal. You know, sometimes, even the way you preach, it tells the person whether they should take you serious or not. Yes, it tells the person. Because I...
Please, can I speak to you for 2 minutes?
What is that? What is that?
Huh? Yes, please. Oh, can you hear me? Well,
the guy's looking at you and saying, I don't have your time. You're not serious. There's no conviction, no passion. But from now, as you go out there, as I teach you these technicalities of this war, you're going to have missiles. Right? You know, one time, I was going to a guy. I was going to preach to him. And I spent time just praying. Because I'm going to show you the technicality. So I went to him. And they called him. It's quite recently. So I just said, hello, how are you? He said, I'm fine. Then I closed my eyes and I saw something around, like a mist. So I knew, okay, just start speaking in tongues. So I just started speaking in tongues. Then as I spoke in tongues, I never touched him. I never laid hands on him. I never said anything. He just started to go like this. So he realized that he was falling. Then he came back to himself. Then he said, can you please move back? Can you move back? I said, why? He said, please, can you move back? He used the right word, actually. He says, there's a force field, something around. So, I remember, I told him, I said, I've not spoken to you yet, but you're saying I should move back, so I moved back a bit. Then, I brought up a conversation, and I said, I want you to be in church tomorrow. Then he said, yes, I'll be in church tomorrow. There was no coercion. There was nothing like that. Just him knowing there's a supernatural power here. There's God in this place. Your walls are going to be armed with these missiles. We had already received an arming. I've not thought about it, but hands were laid on you yesterday concerning seeing and knowing. And being led supernaturally in your evangelisms. And when you are led supernaturally in your evangelisms, you'll be led supernaturally in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll be led supernaturally in your life. You'll know what to do at what point in time. So it's a war. It's a war. Sometimes when you stand before someone to preach, when you have the mind that is a war, you don't trivialize what you give. It comes with compassion. It comes with a knowing. It comes with a heart. It comes with a conviction.
It comes with, you have to really hear me on this. You have to listen to me on what I'm telling you about. Hear me on this matter. You have to. Our evangelisms must have these spices. I don't, you know, one time, I remember, I came to, was it Ivandi? Yes, Ivandi. And then, the Lord just told me, go wait in this area. Now, there are times where the gifts of the Spirit are used. There are also times where the gifts of the Spirit are not in demonstration. But both of them are supernatural. Are you listening? So, like I said, we're going to be having these conversations as we go. But there are just times where you going is supernatural. Don't worry about something to see or something to know or something to hear. The going is as supernatural as the seeing, hearing, and knowing. Are you listening? But then you must be open to both. Because there are certain times you may not hear, but you are literally taking there in yourself. Then after your preaching, you get to realize, oh, okay, I was actually brought here by God's Spirit without anything that has to do with seeing, without anything that has to do with knowing, without anything that has to do with hearing. But then, the what we have to be conscious about is that we're not just prone to one side of our conversation. Because both are supernatural. Are you listening? Both are supernatural. So I'm saying this so that you don't get agitated because you don't, or you have not really had an experience of that sort. But then you have preached to people, and that is very supernatural too. But I want to make you versatile. You know how to do both. Times where you just walk out of your room, you've not heard anything. And the person you are preaching to, I'm telling you, is the person God brought your way to preach to the person. So either of the ways, you're going to know how to navigate yourself during the times. Are you listening? That's what I'm telling you. You're going to be versatile. You're going to know how to respond to God's leading. If He's showing you something, you're going to be there. If He's talking to you, you're going to hear. If He's literally leading you, like you just get up and you just go. But the people you are talking to are the people you're speaking to. That's also very valid. So I walked there. Then, I met a guy coming down. And I just had an impression. That's him. You know, I heard to be there. But I had an impression that that was him. I didn't hear that was him. I had an impression that was him. How did I have an impression? I just wanted to talk to him. That's an impression. You just want to talk to the fellow. So I walked to him. Then I said, oh, hello, sir. He said, oh, hi. Then he said, I said, so, how you doing? He said, oh, I'm very well. And I said, oh, where are you off to? Then he said, I'm off to Medina. Now, I'm at Ivandi. I'm at Ivandi. The road, the crossroads to Ivandi. So I said, okay, so what have you been up to? Oh, I've been fine. Everything is fine. How's your academics? Academics is well. You know, how is studies going? You know, studies is going on very well. Now, what am I doing? I'm going to show you that. During this time. What are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Everything is fine. What have you been up to? Academics. Then, I don't just bring up something. I said, who's Jesus to you? And he said, they say a lot about Jesus, but I'm really not interested. I'm like, wow. Okay. So, he said he was an IT person. So, he starts to bring up fiction, science, he doesn't believe in God's existence. I just knew. Serious warfare. I knew it. At that point in time, it was a battle. A battle not with fists, with punches. A battle to get him saved. So, I remember just keeping it very calm, I allowed him say everything he wanted to say. Everything he had to say. Explaining himself why he doesn't believe in all of these things. Why he doesn't, you know, really trust that Christianity is true and that this Jesus story is fake and it's a lie. So, I was listening to him, you know, just nodding my head as he spoke. Then when he was done speaking, I asked a very intelligent question. Now, these are all part of the war technicalities. Because you must know what to say, you must know what to ask, you must know where to come in from, you must know how to express what you want to express so that the person can understand what you want to say to them. There are sometimes rhetorical questions you may have to pose between them so they know, no, I'm really not thinking in the way I should think. So I walk with a guy. We got to Atomic. He said, oh, are you still walking with me? I said, yes, I'm walking with you. Because I knew it was a war. So I walked down with him, walked to Atomic. From Atomic, we walk down. And I'm still having conversations with him, you know, trying to explain to him. Then I remember I asked him another question. I said, so the question came out of the blue. I just asked him, so what's your purpose in life? When I said, what's your purpose in life? He turned immediately. And he said, he put his hand on his mouth and he opened his eyes. He said, I had been asking myself this for 2 weeks consistently now. For 2 weeks consistently. What is about life? What is about my life? What do I have to do? Why am I here? What must I accomplish? What should I do? Is there a God like the way people say there is? Then he now said, I think something strange is happening here. Because it was a war and I knew it. So he said, are you not going back? I said, no, don't worry about me. I'll come back. Because I understand that I'm a soldier. And once there's war, we need to finish up that business before I go to anything else. In fact, that day I had to come back and close back a meeting. But I delayed because of him. Then we finally got to Medina. Then he said, oh, you have to pick a car. I said, don't worry, but just give me a few more minutes and then I'm going to have to finish up with you. So I spent time explaining. Then he now said, okay. It means I was winning the war by God's grace given me by his spirit. So I was explaining to him. Sometimes I'll just ask him a question and he doesn't have an answer. Then I answer the question. So I explained to him till he now said, he said something like, I agree to what you're saying. What you're saying is really true. I agree to what you're saying. What was happening? The battle had been won. The battle for his soul had been won. Now look at that long distance I had to walk. I could have said, you know, let's just wrap it up. But I knew that there was something to fight. I knew God was counting on me to make him come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. And many times we give up quickly on this war. What is it if a disciple fornicates? He said, no, me, I don't deal with fornication. You don't know. What? Why are you giving up on the person? Hey, she has an attitude. It's a war. Are you listening? I call, she doesn't pick. It's a war. I knock, they don't open up the door for me. It's a war. So once you get to understand this, that there is a war of turning people from the power of Satan onto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and they may be sanctified by faith, then you can get on it. You're not moved by their tantrums. Every time you are calling. No, you are just calm and smiling. Because you know it's a war, right? Hey, these people, they will come here, sir. Don't be intimidated. You are fighting a war. You're fighting a war. So, we're going to fight this fight. Are you listening? Are you going to give up? You're going to just say, oh, the people are saying that they will not listen to me. Is that what you're going to say? Are you sure? Oh, my discipleship group, people are not responding nowadays. Is that what you're going to say? No, that's not what you say. 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 You pick up a technique. Technique number one, prayer. Prayer is a war technique. In fact, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What did he tell them to do in verse 38? Pray. Church, what did he tell them to do? Pray. The success of your evangelisms, success of your preaching, is not in strategy. Huh? It's not in strategy. I mean canal strategy. Say, hey, if I give them toffee, they will come to church. Oh, if I give them, if I take them to Shatterfest, they will come to church. If we give more music, more choreography, they'll feel more comfortable, and so they are going to come to church. No. 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 The strength and success of our ministries in evangelisms is not like an organization or like a event center. It happens by prayer. Not involved by worldly strategies. It happens by prayer. And when we pray, tremendous power is made available. And that power is what produces an effect on our words in our preachings. Paul says that, brethren, I came unto you not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. The power for your evangelisms will be made available to you when you pray. So, before evangelism, after evangelism, prayer is that constant activity. How many of us want to be used by God? Are you sure? Very sure. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. We thought it was a Sunday school song, but it's actually a real song. Real life song, not for children. The prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Master key. It actually is the master key. You know, it is said that, I don't know if it's John Wesley, Reverend Chris, but then God is going to use a man who prays more than a man who is going to be knowledgeable or who is knowledgeable. So when you don't have a prayer life, your evangelism struggle. Now, what are we going to be praying for? This is where I want you to do a lot of writing. What are we going to be praying for? Number one, you're going to pray for boldness. Of course, we're going to pray for ourselves. And then we pray for every preacher for boldness to declare God's counsel. Because we could be vulnerable to fear as humans. We could be vulnerable to fear or hardship or persecution. We could be vulnerable to fear as humans. So you're going to pray for boldness. Use Ephesians 6:18-20. Ephesians 6:18-20. Can we all flip there quickly? We're going to go through it very quickly, right? So let's do it very, very quick. So I want you to be on, what I call it, beast mode. Is that okay? Because we're going to go through Ephesians 6:18. So you're going to pray this for yourselves and of course for the ministers. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to. So you're going to pray for boldness. Number two, you're going to pray that the gospel runs a free course. And that means that you're going to pray that your ministry is received without hindrance. And also that you are delivered from evil. That's the second thing you're also going to pray about. These are missiles for your evangelisms. Missiles for your outreaches. Missiles for your work. Boldness. Look, when you pray for it, you'll be amazed. You begin to see yourself becoming bold. It's supernatural how it happens. You know, one time I spent some time praying about boldness. And I had to tell myself, wow, maybe you should pause a bit and pray about other things and come back to it. You will just find yourself becoming bold. It's a supernatural effect of prayer. Things that you thought you would not be able to do, you will suddenly begin to do. Right? So you're going to pray that God gives you boldness. Number two, you're going to pray that the gospel runs a free course. And of course, that your ministry is received. Have you seen that sometimes you go to people's rooms and they don't open the door for you? But from now, they'll open your door for you. Yes. They'll open their physical doors to you. They'll open the doors of their hearts to you. You know, someone told me some time back that she went to see someone and she knocked on the door and then they opened. And the person just came to her and said that, I never listen to anybody, but I'm willing to listen to you. I don't know why. I never listen to anybody. Anybody that meets me at any point in time, I tell them, please, don't waste your time. But I just don't know. I'm willing to listen to you. This is what happens when you pray, that your ministry will be received. Your ministry is going to be received. Your ministry is going to be received. Yes, your ministry is going. You pray that people are going to receive your ministry. They should receive what you have for them. They should receive what you say to them. So, that the gospel runs a free course. There's no hindrance to what you have to say. There's no, you know, stoppage. Somebody goes to preach, and please, we don't want to hear you. You go to preach, they'll say, oh, can you come in? Can you come again? Can you take me to church? I want you to believe that there are supernatural spices like these in your ministry. I want to come again. Yeah. As a church, there should be that spice. Pastor, please, when we are done, you pray that spice over us. We want to come back again. I don't know why, but I just want to come back again. I just want to come back again. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to just be there. I just want to come back. Oh, I'll come back. There's also, I want to be here. I don't know, but I just want to be here. Yeah, I want to be here. Some of you believe in for boys, for girls. This one is for church, for evangelisms. You know, while I was in Tamale, they showed me, should I tell you? You know, I had a friend who was called Saeed. His dad I don't think he was his dad, but he was a stubborn. So he used to go to these malams and all of those things. So he came to me and said, I can teach you how to do for girls. I said, Then he gave me prescription. Should I tell you? I won't tell you any prescription. He said, if you do it, it will work. I said, who am I going to do it on? It's a bad boy. For following. And that's the Holy Ghost. Reason why I'm sharing this with you, so your hearts can be open to it. When your heart is open to it, you will receive it. For following. You've proposed, sir. They say no. After for following, they will say yes. You propose evangelism. Evangelism, you're not getting one disciple. After today. Rise to your feet. And praying tongues. Lord, there'll be a natural attraction to me and my ministry. Ask God for it. Ask God for it. A natural liking. I don't know how much you want this. There'll be a natural response to my voice, to my presence, to my ambience. Men will just want to follow me for no reason. They'll hear my voice. They'll respond to my calls. They'll pick my calls. They'll reply my text messages. As I preach the gospel, they'll want to hear me again. Yes, there'll be that, you know, glory. It's the glory of God. It's His beauty. I'm telling you, it's His beauty. It's His beauty. I see that fragrance in my evangelisms. Those spices. They are spices. Spices of the gift of God. Spices of the grace of God. Zusa pranta pa papaka pa papotopo zopratekea brozota bratekepa. There'll be an ease to this thing. Men will hear my voice. Peapotopo popokoso bratekepa. As my words are few, they will resound in men's hearts. As my words go forth, they will resound in men's hearts. In Jesus' name. Take your seats. Say, I have it now. So as you go for your evangelism, look out for it. You will be someone say, are you a preacher? Say yes. Come and preach to me.
It's real. And I said, you have it. From today, you meet people. They say, you look like a preacher. Don't be silly. Don't say no. 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 Say you look like a church person. Don't say no. Don't say no. Don't say no. I said, don't say no. You look like a woman of God. Don't say no. Don't say no. Say I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. God has called me. Yes, don't say no. Say, where do you church? It's like I want to follow you to church. Don't say no. Don't say no. Don't say no. Listen, these things are not fun. They are real things that happen. Don't say no. Don't say no. Take your seats. There are spices. Spices. Your ministry is going to be received. 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 It's just going to be received. You look attractive. Don't say no. You know, many times, people can see and pick from the inside what is on the inside of you. May not be exactly how you look as a man. There's an attraction. It's almost like I hear it. Kids will just start saying, Auntie, when are you taking us to church? It's very supernatural. 12 years, 13 years, 15 years. Auntie, when are you taking? But it never occurred to you to take them to church. But they'll just, Auntie, when are you taking us to church? Auntie, we are going to church with you. Uncle, we are going to church with you. Your roommate just wakes up and says, oh, I like the way you really take this God thing seriously. I really want to follow you. I just want to follow you. Your ministry has a free course. It runs unhindered, runs unceased, runs without persecutions, runs without stoppages. So you're going to pray Romans 15 verse 30. Romans 15 verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So we are praying that the ministry or your ministry be received without hindrance and that you be delivered from evil. The gospel runs a free course is the emphasis. So that you are not hindered. You know, sometimes as a minister, there are hindrances. Sometimes those hindrances are men. Men will not open their doors for you. Authorities will not sign for you to come and preach. They will say, oh, we don't do this church thing here. You know, people are trying to stop you and stop what God wants to do with you. But as you pray these prayers, your ministry will just be moving like that. It will be running without any kind of hindrance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 is, you know, still under the gospel running a free course. So you quote these scriptures, you put yourself in there and you pray for yourself. You pray for the ministry. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Are you going to pray? What a beauty it is if Sunday you as an individual, you have four buses. Your ministry running unhindered. Because school authorities just see you and they say, can you help our students? It runs unhindered. But other people will go there and say, we don't allow people inside to preach and all of these things. Running unhindered. Running unhindered. Running unhindered. It runs unhindered without any kind of hindrance. And you have that.
Even me, I'll be saying, wow, what a grace, what a gift. Because you have it. You have it. It runs unhindered. Runs unhindered. Number three, write this as a major thing you're going to also pray about. You can take your seats. Pray for signs and wonders to be done through your ministry. Looking at Romans 15 verse 19 and Acts chapter 4 verse 30, we're going to go on beast mode quickly. Romans 15 verse 19, you pray for signs and wonders to be done through your ministry. You know, Reverend Chris shares a story where one of his disciples went to a market square and got somebody healed. The whole market square, everybody gave their life to Christ. So can you imagine that in one day, the entire church is full, including the app. Because the app, they say we don't use it, but we want to use it. Use it. Yes. Yes. Your whole classroom, everybody is coming to church because of you. A whole family gives their hearts to the Lord because of you. Your colleagues in your space, they give their hearts to the Lord because of you. Because of a sign and a wonder. Someone was just sick. You just said, oh, I can pray for you. And you're going to be healed. And then you hold and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, we receive, be healed in Jesus' name. Say, ah. Hey, if the person is a Nigerian, wonders shall never end. Hey. So, signs and wonders. You know, science can shut every kind of accusation up. Huh? It can quieten people. One sign. Your ministry is going to be marked with signs. That's why I want you to practice the supernatural. I want you to do it because you are going to see it. Signs. Your mother who has said, I will never do this. Just, mommy, can I pray for you? Then she's healed. My mom stood in front of my church in the veranda while I was still on the veranda. Pastor used to pass by. She came and she gave a testimony. Huh? The man of God, which is my son. You're going to have things like that. Yeah. Don't argue too much. Are you listening? Yes. Don't argue. When you meet somebody who is sick, it's time for a sign. It's time for a wonder. There'll be signs. There'll be signs. Take your seats. There'll be miracles. There'll be healings. You know, there'll be inspired words given to you. Like the guy I spoke to, that when I asked him, so what is your purpose? He opened, that's a sign. There'll be remarkable signs to your evangelism. Yes. You'll be led to do things, and those things will be very significant for the work that you have on your hands. They are signs. Romans 15 verse 19 and Acts 4 verse 30. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I fully preach the gospel of Christ. Acts 4 verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thine holy child, Jesus. Gonna pray these prayers. Also, you pray for preservation from danger or sickness. That means we're also going to pray for our health, to avoid hindering the preaching of the gospel. You know, when a minister is sick, he cannot really preach the gospel. So you pray for yourself, you also pray for your pastor as well. Okay, I'm not going to read the verses, I'm just going to give you 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 to 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 to 2. And then James chapter 5 verse 13. Believers can fall sick, but then we can pray for our health, since our bodies are involved in preaching and need to be healthy so as not to hinder the preaching of the gospel. Just like Trophimus, we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 20, beast mode. So your writing should be quick. Are you listening? So what are the scriptures I gave you? 3 verse 1 to 2. James chapter 5 verse 13. Which shows that there are tendencies for ministers to be plagued, right? Small illnesses. Big illnesses. But then that's why we pray. We see examples of that in 2 Timothy 4 verse 20 and Philippians 2 verse 22. So we pray. Are you listening? We pray for our health. We intentionally pray for our health. And then we feed our hearts with God's faith concerning health. They say, Ajay, my pneumonia. What is that? Then we also pray for the unsaved. Now, in praying for the unsaved, we pray for ministers of the gospel to be sent to them. A preacher must be sent to them. Pray that men be sent to them. Because we saw yesterday in Romans 10:14, how shall they hear without the preacher, right? So we pray. So as we pray that ministers be sent to them, we ourselves, we go. Are you listening? It's not like we pray and then we sit in our seats and don't go. So you pray that God is going to send forth laborers to them. I mean, them, there will be their unsaved. You can also pray that their hearts are open to receive your word. Like we saw, Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened to receive and attend to the words of Paul. Pray in the Spirit. Reason why I stated this war as first is vital. It's vital. All other techniques may not prosper except this is in place. Lord, I'm stepping out to preach. And as I preach, I have this primary understanding that it is a war. The people are rejecting, but I'll stand my ground, fight till I win. They're giving excuses why they cannot show up. But I'm going to stand my ground. Yes. 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 It's a war. 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 Gonna stand my ground. 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 Stand my ground.
Jive che peto voi sobrate verete fibro sobrata capara da pangibro da vero.
I will not be moved by people's attitudes, people's pettiness, people's ignoring me, refusing my texts, not replying. I'm not going to be moved by some of these things because I know the technicalities. It's first a war. I have understood that it's a war. And a war is not pleasurable. It's not leisure. It's not done on pastime. Yeah, it's not done. It's not done when I'm free. It's not supposed to be something that, oh, it's just a, you know, a tea party. A war is serious business with an object. There's an objective of this war. There's an objective. I'm also going to have that spirit of persistency and patience, because sometimes a war is a long war. It's a long war. But with patience and persistency, you win the war. With patience and persistency, I win the war. With patience and persistency, I win the war. It's a long war. Not every war is just 2 hours of fighting. There are wars in discipleships, in evangelism, that you will keep fighting, fighting, fighting till the victory is won. And Lord, as I pray, I'll have that heart. 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 I receive that heart. I have that heart. My heart will not be weary. My heart will not be soft. My heart will not be weary. My heart will not be soft in the midst of this battle. In the midst of this battle, I'll be able to stand up in prayer. I'll be able to stand up and pray. I'll pray that men's eyes are open. Their hearts are open. I'll pray that the gospel has a free course. At midnight, I'll hit my knees on the floor. I'll wear cloaks. Get off in the night. Get into prayer. Because there's a war that needs to be fought and that needs to be won. I'll go again in prayer, and I'll go again in prayer, and I'll go and pray again in prayer, and I'll go again in prayer, and I'll go again in prayer. There'll be several nights, all nights of prayer, but I'll go again, and 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 I'll go again, till the victory is won. Katapalia, rakatapa. Till I see that soul that I pursued for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, the person now finally gets it. The person now finally says, ah, why didn't I get it all this while? The person now says, thank you for not giving up on me. The person now says, ah, so you've been teaching me all this and I didn't get it. You look at that person and say, I won the war. I won the war. I won the war. I won the war. You now see the person serving in church. You now see the person giving in a discipleship. You now see the person playing an instrument. You now see the person doing something in the church. You say, I won that war. I won that war. I won that battle. But people of God, the battle is supposed to be fought. And as we pray, and as we pray, and as we pray, and as we pray, you go visit that person. The person is not around. You go again. The person is not around. You go again. The person's hand is away. You go again. The person is not present. You go again. The person is not present. Then one day you go and you meet the person and you get the person feel. The person starts to respond. The person starts to go. The person starts to ask questions. The person is interested. You want that war. People of God. It is a war. I said it is a war. And you're going to walk in that knowledge. Hear the word of the Lord. Go back again. Shapata. Keep praying in the spirit. Go back again. That's the word of the Lord. Go back again. Call again. Text again. Visit again. Go back again. Go back again. Pray again. Fast again. Pray again. Fast again. Pray again.
again. You say that disciple is promiscuous. People of God is a war. Is a war. The character is very ugly. It is a war. The person doesn't respect. It is a war. The person seems not to be responding. It is a war. And I see you winning that war. I see you winning that war. I'll see you winning that war. I see you winning that war. I see you winning that war. Suddenly the person will say, thank you for not giving up on me. I see you winning that war. I see you winning that war. You're going to go back to that friend, that family member, that neighbor, that disciple that you despise. You're saying, yes, I'm back again. I'm back again. I'm back again. And this time around, there will be victories. There will be victories. As you go back, there are victories. As you go back, there are victories. As you go back, there are victories. Oh, there are victories. As you go back, there are victories. Because as you go back to this war, you are becoming brutal. You are becoming fearless. You're becoming a soldier. That's who you are. That's who you are. This is a CFI song. That's who you are. You will not drop down your battle axe.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, because it is war. I said because it is war. You are going back again. That land will hear your voice. That land will hear your voice. That land will hear your voice. That land will hear your voice.
Soldiers,
that's who we are.
Persistent,
insistent,
resilient,
committed.
We will fight till the end.
Where will you war?
We will war in the fields,
even down into the valleys.
Hey! The valley.
Up into the hills.
Up into.
One more time. Brutal.
Fearless. Reckless.
Reckless soldiers.
Soldiers, that's who we are.
Persistent. Insistent. Resilient.
Committed. We will fight till the end.
Are you fighting to? We war in the field.
We will war in the field.
Even down.
Even down into the valley.
Up into the hills.
Up into the hills.
Will you ever stop?
We will never fail. We will never cease. We will never stop.
Yes, serving the Lord.
We will never fail.
My God.
We will never cease.
My God.